In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, what is the biggest compliment someone could pay you if they began their statement with, "You know what you are? You're a fill in the blank." I know a question like that to get things started in a moment like this is like putting the pedal down hard to see how fast we can get from 0 to 60. But give a little thought to that. I know the mind prefers to go negative. We more often prefer to think of insults and the labels we would never want to hear someone use regarding us. But let's stay positive. Perhaps it is even something you believe about yourself that few others seem to pick up on. Maybe you would consider it the biggest compliment because you believe it to be a great strength, a character asset, and you are disappointed at how few others seem to notice it about you. Would it be something off the list of the fruits of the Spirit, for example? Are you loving, joyful, a peacemaker, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, or self-controlled? Would it be a high compliment to call you generous, thrifty, thoughtful, thorough, even-keeled, or so consistent that you're positively predictable? There are categories of compliment that some find more preferable than others. Would you consider the biggest compliment you could be paid about your intellect, your looks, your personality, or your character? This could get really deep and dissectional pretty quick here, couldn't it? But this little exercise has been all about getting you to think about what you prefer others to notice and appreciate about you for a reason. By the end of our time in meditation today, I want you to be able to answer a very simple question. How would you feel about someone believing they are complimenting you, coming out with, "You know what you are? You're a Berean." Maybe you don't feel you know enough about the ancient Bereans to answer just quite yet, so let's gather more info. I want to read the entire lesson from Acts chapter 17 for you again so the context might be set. But I want to focus our time particularly on verses 10 to 12 at the end of the lesson. When they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. "This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ," he said. Some of the Jews who were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and not a few prominent women. But the Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other brothers before the city officials, shouting, "These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here, and Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are all defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus." When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. Then they made Jason and the others post bond and let them go. Now the verses we particularly want to focus on. As soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than Thessalonians. for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Many of the Jews believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. I believe there are only three things you and I need to harvest from these verses to decide for certain whether we would feel it a high compliment to be called a Berean. Let's click them off one at a time and examine them. First, being a Berean is to stand out for being of more noble character than those surrounding you. Now, reading the first 9 verses of this chapter of Acts might have you thinking it really wasn't that hard for the Bereans to stand out as more noble than those Thessalonians. Well, maybe that would seem to be true, but let's test whether that is always true about everyone's context. Does it usually happen that more noble character is built up by the lower character surrounding it, or worn away and corrupted by the lower character surrounding it? I think our answer to that question proves the exception that we have here on this page of church history. Paul and the believers with him were treated abominably at Thessalonica. There was significant gospel success, and a permanent congregation was formed at Thessalonica. Yet there was nothing easy or painless about the way things got started there, not for Paul, not for his team, nor for the Jews and Gentiles that came together to form that congregation. So what a relief it must have been for Paul to find so close by a group of people who impressed him with their level of character. Paul was clearly defining character by how the scriptures themselves define moral and spiritual character. Paul and his team were in a significant crisis moment. How relieved they must have been to know how much better they would be treated in Berea, and how they could count on that neighboring community to guide and assist the struggling seedling congregation back in Thessalonica. Stop and think about this in regard to the exceptional moment that we are currently living. Do the people who surround you on a daily basis see the best you have to offer because of this moment? Or are you using the COVID crisis as an excuse to let it all hang out with little regard for how others are observing you? Think about my intro a few moments ago. The list of potential compliments was lengthy, yet every single item on the list was a positive, and any of them and all of them would be good for a Christian to prioritize in building his own character. Which of those items are you consciously pursuing? Which of them are you making a priority at this moment when everyone has a little more time on his hands and a bit slower pace to his life? Wouldn't this moment be the perfect moment to get serious about working on your character? You have heard me say in the past that I don't believe crisis builds character as much as it reveals character, thus giving us a platform we need to evaluate what to work on to be better in meeting the next crisis. Well, when a crisis lasts as long as this one clearly is, it presents itself as a wonderful opportunity to ask ourselves those honest character questions and set a course of corrective action. In his word, the Lord makes his will for our lives and our character very clear. Every single one of us would do well to use this moment to examine the character we are displaying to everyone else each day. If you don't like the results of that examination, then it's time to pray for the Lord's assistance and get to work. But that's exactly where we are heading in the second revelation about the Bereans that makes us desire to emulate them. Secondly, being a Berean is about receiving the message of God's word with great eagerness. We have a sample in verses 2-3 of this chapter of how Paul went about starting the gospel conversation in a new place. He usually went to a synagogue. He reasoned with them from the Old Testament scriptures. He started a conversation about the Christ. The souls gathered for Paul's first encounters in a new place would have usually been the souls most likely longing for the fulfillment of their forgiveness long promised in the prophecies of God. They would have known the love language God used in his frequent statements of forgiveness and salvation, how they were stated as already being completed by an anointed agent who was yet to come, how they would have thrilled to hear Paul present to them that the Christ had revealed himself in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, a descendant of King David. The promised one had offered himself on a Roman cross and risen from a grave outside Jerusalem. God's saving plan, progressively presented in the Old Testament scriptures, was complete. Salvation, forgiveness for all sins, and life eternal with God was now certain. If you have an awareness of your own sins, if you are equally aware of how messed up and completely broken is this world in which you live, if you are also equally dissatisfied with every answer any human of history or today offers up to you for how to make yourself right and be forever right with God, then how eager you must also be, as the Bereans clearly were, to hear the answers Paul offers and wants you to focus on. These are the answers every heart seeks. These are the answers that God wants you to have because they free you completely from all burdens of guilt and every obligation to God. Receiving the message of the gospel with eagerness reveals a clear understanding of what the gospel is and what it offers. The message of the Christ is the only message that relieves every tension every human can experience. Eternal life with God, offered by God, with nothing left for humans to do but believe. Complete payment for every sin and failure, resulting in complete peace with God every remaining moment of this life and in the life to come. All because the Christ has come and fulfilled every demand of God as your substitute, even the demand that sin must be paid for by death. The Christ's death was innocent and voluntary, so his death could pay for every sin. Thus, the resurrection of the Christ guarantees resurrection for every sinner. The message of such news naturally brings great eagerness. It engenders great eagerness no matter what those hearing that message might be experiencing at the moment. When eternal life with God is in the balance, it's hard to say, not now with the gospel. I've got bigger issues to deal with, bigger problems to solve. No matter if it is death, disease, financial ruin, or a vital relationship in tatters, the gospel message Paul brought the Bereans and still brings to us is eagerly received. But the Bereans didn't just accept this eagerly received word because the famous Apostle Paul presented it to them. They took it one very appropriate step farther. And that's the third and last facet of being a Berean. It is daily examining every last thing you are taught from Scripture by anyone sharing the word with you to know for certain it is true and consistent with everything Scripture proclaims. When you and I hear that the Bereans did this, we might initially think that might have made Paul cringe. Paul had every right to think, what, they don't believe me? They don't trust me? I've been called by Christ himself to be an apostle and proclaimer of the gospel. But Paul's attitude was exactly the opposite, as any true teacher of the gospel's attitude will always be. Paul delighted that they examined everything he taught them against the Old Testament scriptures to be certain that Paul was teaching a truth consistent with everything God had already revealed. The result of their personal daily examination of the scriptures was a deepening of their understanding and of their reliance on the unbreakable and wonderfully inspired Word of God. How well do you know your Bible? Are you able to disseminate what you hear from this amble, from any other lectern, from any other preacher, from any other media, even your trusted social media sources, as to what is truly from God, verified by His Word, and what is not? One of the things I hear often from the people I teach who are going deeper into the Word of God than they ever have before is just how much the Word of God speaks of our everyday lives that they never knew was there. It's amazing how many people believe that the little they know about God, His promises, and His plans is enough. They're good to go with what they do know and have other things they feel the need to spend their time and energy on. I will never forget an older pastor in my early years twisting a very familiar Sunday school song during a sermon to make his point on this matter. He said, "Too many Christians demonstrate the attitude, 'Jesus loves me, this I know, and that's really all I want to know.' Not the Bereans. The message about the Christ was their jumping in point. They wanted to hear everything else Paul had to teach them. Then they wanted to examine everything Paul taught against everything they could read for themselves in the Word. They needed to be absolutely certain what they were being taught was eternally correct. The influences of the moment are always strong. The loudest, most insistent voices of the moment often are the easiest to just let win the day. But Bereans take their time and examine everything, every day, against the Word of God, to be absolutely certain about what they are believing and what they are doing. So, you have a little more time on your hands these days because of a stay-at-home order that's starting to get on your nerves a bit. Have you used any of that extra time to examine what you are being taught or have been taught against the Word itself? I guarantee that neither of your pastors or any other teacher of the Word at Faith Lutheran would ever be offended by you beginning a conversation with, "I was searching the Scriptures because of something you said in a sermon or in a class recently, and that led to some follow-up questions." We who teach the message of the Christ, as Paul did, love to hear God's people tell us that they are digging into God's Word. Yes, we love it even when that digging is in reaction to what we have taught specifically to determine if we have gotten it right according to the gospel. Well, by now, I am certain you've been left with no doubt. Yes, if someone were to say to me, "You know what you are? You're a Berean," I would consider it a tremendous compliment, maybe the highest compliment possible. How about you? Knowing now what it means to be a Berean as defined by this little section of the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, how about you? Do you think, perhaps, just maybe, this is a good time to become a Berean? Amen. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.